What a way to kick off the show. We have a very special guest. He was just elevated to Cardinal and will be celebrating his first Christmas Mass as a Cardinal. We'd like to welcome to the show. We're honored to have Cardinal Blaise Supich. Cardinal, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Good to be with you today.
Such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
That's great. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Your Eminence, tell us about that moment in Rome a few weeks ago. And there were so many people from Chicago that traveled to Rome for that ceremony. What was going through your mind during the ceremony? What was it like?
Well, I knew that it was a once-in-a-lifetime moment, and having my family there and so many good friends that I've known over the years, I just wanted to focus on every instant and not to overthink it, but just to really drink it in. When I went up to see the Holy Father, and he said a few words to me, and then said the prayers, then gave me the document for the possession of my new church. It really was just a moment of taking the time to enjoy each and every second. So that's the approach that I had.
Wow. You know, what I find interesting, too, is that the parish that I grew up in the south suburbs, St. Julie Catholic Church in Tinley Park, the pastor, Father Lou Tilka, went with the group of over 250 people, went with you to Rome for the ceremony. What was it like to you to have that big of an entourage supporting you during this occasion?
Well, it was really very encouraging to me. And I was also pleased that I had people from the former areas where I worked, Columbus, Ohio, Omaha, my native diocese, Spokane, Washington, and I had over 30 people from Rapid City, South Dakota. So it really was heartwarming to see people to get together, and they enjoyed meeting my family and spending some days together.
Cardinal, we have two things in common. Number one, you come from a very large family. You're one of 9 children. I'm one of 12. What number are you?
I'm third.
So you're third in the group. So Christmas time,
older brothers, yes.
Christmas time growing up was just pure chaos. Do you have any fond Christmas memories? Because when I think of the McMurray house, I just think of kids just screaming and running around nonstop around Christmas.
Well, yes, of course, you know, when you have such a large number with an age difference, it does, I think, open itself up for a little bit of chaos, which my parents always handled with great equanimity. I look back on it, and I wonder how I would have done with that. But it really was good. It was an opportunity as well for us to exchange gifts with each other.
Did you eat in shifts? Because we ate in shifts, because we can only fit 6 or 7 people around the kitchen table, so we had to eat in shifts as a family. Did you do that?
Well, there was a kids' table all the time, because we had sometimes aunts and uncles, grandparents, and so on. Mm-hmm. And then we had the kids' table. And usually the older ones ate with the adults, and the younger ones had the kids' table.
Okay.
So you both come from a big family, Pete. But what right. is the other thing that you and the Cardinal have in common?
Well, we both come from a large family. Yeah. And the second thing, we both have a straight shot to heaven. We're going straight to heaven. Because, of course, the Cardinal is a Cardinal, and, you know, is a few steps away from the Pope. And my sister is a sister, so I get a straight shot. Isn't that right, Cardinal?
I see. That's quite a theory. I had not read about that before. You might want to write a doctoral dissertation on that.
Now I have a homework assignment.
Now you have a homework from the Cardinal. Great. So Cardinal Supich, this is your first midnight mass as a Cardinal here in Chicago, and you have a large audience, right? So you have people that you see all the time, and you have a lot of people that may not go to mass every Sunday. How do you prepare for the homily?
Well, I think you preach the gospel. You make sure that you are sensitive to the needs and the aspirations of people as they come for Christmas, and you try to put them in touch with how God's working in their life, but also speak about what this day means, and also not only the people in attendance, but the viewership, because it will be broadcast, and we have quite a good viewership for Midnight Mass.
I mean, everybody wants to go and see you, so there's a lot of pressure. Do you feel that pressure?
You know, I don't, because I enjoy what I do. I like being with people.
Okay.
It really is an opportunity. Praying for me is something that I've done my whole life, so I see this as another opportunity to pray rather than perform.
Well, I grew up an altar server, and I did midnight mass for years. And I remember I was so tired the middle of mass. How do you ever get tired? Or are you just pumped up because this is such a big deal for you?
Well, yes, that hour of the night is not really my best, so I do have to take a nap in the afternoon. And then I get up the next morning fairly early because we have to get over to the Cook County Jail. I have mass over there at 9 o'clock, so it'll be a short night.
Okay.
Is it a full day on Christmas Day for you? You said you're going to the jail to do mass there. Will you go to other parishes, and will you be saying mass throughout the afternoon? And then what do you do for Christmas dinner?
Well, that'll do it, and then I will make some other visits to some people, but then I'm going to take a nice mega nap in the afternoon, I think.
Good for you.
To catch up.
He's got to catch up.
Yeah, well.
Now that you're the Cardinal, I mean, you're one of the most recognizable people here in Chicago. How do you do anything without someone stopping you? I mean, can you go and see a movie? I mean, how does it work?
Well, you know, even on the street, because I walk back and forth to the office and people stop me along the street and want a selfie or just chat. When I go to the airport, too, I have to plan ahead of time because when I go from the curb to the gate, I do get stopped. And I consider the people who stop me my parish. I don't have a parish anymore.
Right.
So I consider the people along the way are the ones who, if they take time to come up and greet me, I'm really honored by that. I take time to talk to them. And it's really it's a good opportunity just to get to know people. And their real generosity and wishing me well and also just wanting to tell me who they are. I'm really thrilled by that. So I find it a good opportunity.
And what I love about you is the accessibility. You'll stop and take a selfie with people on the street. You're very active on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. You have a lot of followers on Twitter. Do you do all your own tweets?
Well, no, I have a group of folks in our communications office who help with that, especially the technological aspect of it. I do approve the text that are sent out, and I want to be present to people. Also, let them know kind of where I am and what I'm doing, and that is, I'm sure, right after this, it'll be tweeted that I was talking to you.
Well, I'll probably tweet it out, absolutely.
Cardinal, you're such a humble man. Do you have that moment? There's a lot of people listening right now that live in the suburbs. They've never been down to Holy Name. When you walk into Holy Name, you see the cardinal hats hanging from the ceiling. Will you have one of those moments on Christmas Eve when you look up and say, wow, I can't believe it, I made it?
Well, I don't know if I've ever made it, although, let's keep in mind here that those hats are hung after somebody dies. So
I understand that.
Them with any sense of ambition.
Maybe my hat will be up there one day. I mean,
you're in such a small group.
That's really my point. You're in such a small group.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. On the other hand, I'm honored to even be numbered among the great people that those hats signify. You know, I think of, you know, late Cardinal George and Cardinal Bernardine, Cardinal Mundelein, that really just to be among them. But also, I think, in a special relationship that Chicago now has with the Pope, I take great pride in that, and I think all the city should.
As we look forward to the new year, do you have a New Year's resolution? And what would you say for all of us here in this great city? You know, what do we look at for a New Year's resolution?
Well, I think all of us have to really focus on the challenges that we have here. And I think that just a greater sense of our unity among ourselves, to really be respectful of each other in a way that allows us to be concerned about other people. And not to say that the problems in one part of the town are their problems, but really it belongs to all of Chicago. My hope would be that in this next year we can have that greater sense of unity in this city.
As I'm talking to you on the phone, I've seen so many pictures and videos of you. You're always smiling. That's my visual right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just a happy guy.
I like being here. I have a great job. It's a wonderful place to be.
I love it.
Chicago is a great city. I have wonderful people to work with, and I get up every morning enjoying what I'm doing. And I think that, who could ask for more?
We're so lucky to have you here, but we're lucky.
Cardinal, Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming on. And this counts as confession, right? So I don't have to go later. It doesn't? Okay. Cardinal Blaise Cupich.
Well, it might count as confession, but I don't know if it counts as absolution.
Thank you, Cardinal. Merry Christmas. All right,
Merry
take
Christmas.
Care. Cardinal Blaise Cupich. What a great guy.
What a great guy. That was so wonderful to talk to him. What an honor.
It is 720 WGN.